Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Give it up for Jesus today. Come on, Faith Church. Come on, St. Louis, all the campuses. It's going to be a good week. Yeah. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, you got blessed. You got to sit by me already. That's right. This weekend, we're going to talk about overcoming obstacles in your life, building a better life. How many of y'all are interested in building a better life? But whenever you're building a better life, there's always going to be obstacles. Have you ever had something come out of nowhere? And you're like, man, this is crazy. Then have you ever had something happen a little worse than that? You'd be glad to go back to the problem you had a couple days ago. These are obstacles. The good news is the Bible said that in 2 Corinthians 2:14, you write that down, it's not in my notes, but it's a scripture I learned a long time ago. 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, now thanks be unto God, which always, everybody shout always. Always. Come on, St. Louis, shout it loud. What?
Always.
Always causes us to triumph. Not some of the time, not part of the time, all of the time. I think about some people that they don't have a lot of drama. You know, you see people like Aaron at our church in St. Louis, Aaron Brentlinger. He and his family signed up for the Tough Mudder obstacle course, which I don't know why in the world somebody would possibly sign up for more obstacles in their life, but they did. They're like crying through the mud, wet, electric fences, getting shocked. How many of you are not into that? Raise your hand if you're not into it. All right, so, you know, anyway, there's obstacles that come up in your life. I watched some of those shows, as you've seen before, where people have got this obstacle course and stuff's flying at them and moving around, and you're just knocking them off. And if you've got kids and you've got bills, how many of y'all don't need any more drama? Come on, raise your hands, right? Drama. Obstacles. Now, there is on the inside of every person here today. Every person has a certain talent. You've got a superpower. I'm not just talking about Jesus on the inside of you. There's just a thing that you do that nobody else can do the way that you do. It's a superpower on the inside of you. Now, the enemy and the inner me is always trying to pound on you night and day to get you to wear out and become focused on what you're not instead of what you really are. Now, there's a lot of things we're not. I'm not a dancer. I don't know if you saw in the Olympics. Anybody seen that there's breakdancing in the Olympics? Come on. Did anybody see the guy, I don't know if it's a guy or girl, but they went viral. They were like spinning themselves. I mean, you're like, that is not your thing, okay? So I'm here to tell you, I am not a breakdancer. But I have a certain superpower. There's things that I'm good at and things that you're good at. And here's what the devil's good at. We know this. We say it a lot. It's good to remember. The devil comes only but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. To steal your hopes for a better future. To destroy your confidence. I love that song. We might sing it at the end. It says, I've come a long way. I know how you work. It begins to say, God is more than able. But it says, I've come a long way. And the further you go and you see God's goodness and all the things he's done for you, the less you'll live in fear and you'll tap into the superpower and know, I know who I am. Because if you don't know who you are, then the enemy will beat you up. But if you're like, I'm not this, I'm not a break dancer, and I'm not a communicator, and I'm not a singer, but you know what I am? I can cook some chicken. Come on, somebody. I don't even know where that happened this early in the morning, except let's just thank God for people that can make fried chicken. Come on, somebody. Yes. Hey! Yes! So you do what you do, and nobody can do what you do better, and that's why the devil always tries to pound on you, and it's an obstacle course trying to wear you out. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. Come on, every campus, look at it on the screen. It says this. Listen, all you Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. He's down. He's got some obstacles. He doesn't know what to do, and he says, thus saith the Lord. Just that right there will preach. Everybody ought to shout that again. Thus saith the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it is God's. The battle is not yours, it is God. You don't have to fight in this battle. You don't have to defend yourself in this battle. This is not your battle, it is the Lord. Somebody ought to give God praise today. This ain't your problem. Our city campus this last week, we had a surprise visit from the fire marshal, and there's some new people that came in, and they decided, you gotta put it in context, that this building is so big, it's just ridiculous. 150,000 square feet, okay? A lot of churches might be 13,000 square feet. So this is 150,000 square feet. And they came in and said, you need to do this and you got to do that. And you and the Dream Team probably heard Pastor Reed talking about it this week, how we need help to say, hey, we're going to move these things around. We got to clean this stuff out. But they're talking like, oh, you know what? We don't like the way the sprinklers are hung and it needs different kind of sprinklers. And that'll be $250,000. And then, you know, the fire retardant that's on here, that was back in, a few years back. And we think you ought to tear all of that out and put all new stuff in. And that'll be $500,000. This is an obstacle, okay? This is just one church. I don't know why I thought it'd be a good idea to plant 8 of them, but I did, and now we're here. My point is now I could go into dismayed, afraid. What am I gonna do? But oh, no, that's not the way I work. Here's what I know. If it's God's will, it's God's bill. And God will send all the money that we need to do what we're called to do. So last night, I laid my little head down thinking, I've seen God do it before. And if he did it once, he can do it again. I'm not afraid. You need to understand, this is an obstacle, but you were built for this. You were called for this. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Somebody ought to give God praise. I'm talking to a single mom right now. I'm talking about somebody that doesn't know how it's going to work out. I know how it works out. I have on my screensaver here right now. I just happened to think of it during my sermon. The screensaver on my phone today is Officer Travis Brown, who was a security guy at our church. He's always there. There's a couple of cops at our church that are, they just look like TV cops, just freaking ripped and shredded, and he's bad to the bone, neat guy, loves the Lord, always there. And somebody told me that there was a riot that broke out Friday night in St. Louis, and they beat him so bad. This officer, great, loves his city, loves God, and they beat him so bad trying to protect people, and it got crazy. And right now, he's in St. Louis. I was on the phone with him last night, the people of the church. And I saw the news stuff on Channel 5. They sent me the clips. That they said he's in critical condition and he's not going to live. But he's on my phone here as a young police officer sustaining some injuries that say he won't live. But I'm here to tell you today, I believe he's going to live. I believe he's going to come back. I believe that this right here will play at church someday. Somebody ought to go with me on that. Someday we'll say, hey, he was in the hospital on a Sunday morning, but we put him on our screen, and we said, oh, God, do a miracle. And, oh, God, do what only you can do. Turn it around. We'll play this right here. How many of y'all can see that happen at church? Somebody ought to give God praise. Do not be afraid. It says, do not be afraid nor dismayed. Notice that afraid and dismayed, they be hanging out together. They Siamese twins. Because if you get too fearful for too long, you will lose your mind. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. I'm talking to somebody online, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And too much fear make you go cray cray. Look at your neighbor and say, I can tell you've been scared a lot. No, don't do that. It can make you go into dismayed mode. And you can't do that. You got to say, there's one thing about me, and this I know. I will trust in the Lord. He has never left me. He's a strong tower. He is my refuge. And there's a superpower on the inside of me called the Holy Spirit. And he's going to help me push these big trees. When I was on that skid loader, I was pushing trees over that you could never push over. But when you turn on that big old diesel engine and it starts going and the tracks start getting traction and you hear the trees start cricking and heart, and what was rooted deep gets pushed over. But see, the enemy tries to make you run out of fuel, or certainly sometimes he tries to tell you that you don't have what it takes. Don't turn on the key. But you came to church today, and you're going to turn the key on, and you're going to start rolling down the road, and you're going to start getting your joy back, your health back, and your superpower back. Now, I want you to say this word with me. Stay optimistic. Shout it with me.
Stay optimistic.
One more time. Look at your neighbor and say, you look like an optimist. You look like an optimist. Optimistic behavior really helps. Don't think, I can't, I won't. And some of it has to do with your childhood, the way you were raised. Friday in St. Louis, it was our day off, and we take off on Fridays, and so Nicole likes to go to this resale shop called The Vault. Subsequently, it is one of the most well-known and, like, high ranking in the whole nation, out of California, New York, a place called The Vault. There's a woman there that I got to know. She's the owner. Her name is Kathy. Whenever I come in, Nicole, she always goes in, doesn't really necessarily buy anything, but Nicole's one of those people that keeps talking about what she's gonna buy. I'm surprised the lady lets us back in the store. She just doesn't pull the trigger. And Kathy was talking to me. She came over, sit down, you know, because they always got chairs for the guys, you know, and I'm sitting there. And Kathy, the owner, sat down. She started telling me stories. And because I'm a preacher, I'm hearing her story and go, man, that story is great. That would fit in my sermon. So I said, Kathy, do you mind if I just record you for a minute? Because Vogue just did a big thing on her, and Prada and Louis and Gucci and all these people, they talked to her. And she's incredible. And so she's unpacking her story, and it was so optimistic, and there were so many obstacles. She said, sure. So I just started recording. I recorded about 15 minutes. I edited down the part that I thought, you got to hear this part. So here we are Friday at her store.
I don't have any money to stay anywhere. So my dad sets us up in the park. Okay, so we're in the park, and he goes door to door, knocking on doors saying, I'll rake your yard. I'll take that dent out of your car. Wow. I'll do whatever you need.
I'm just a handyman.
Yeah, he was a hustler. And he goes, I'll do whatever it takes to make money to support my family, because we did not believe in charity.
Yeah.
So he does it. It's great for us because, you know, we're so poor, but we don't know we're poor, because
right.
It's not like you hung out at the country club all day and then went to,
right.
you know, and slept in
That's
the park.
That's all you know.
That's all you know. And everybody around you was equally as poor. So we're playing in the park, and we're thinking, we're really, this is great. You know, we're so lucky. We get to play in the park all day long. And
your neighbors don't even have a swing set. You've got a whole park.
That's right. Then the sun goes down. Mm. And when the sun goes down, I'm 4 years old. This is my first memory. And when the sun went down, I got scared, and I thought, oh my goodness, where are we going to sleep tonight? I don't know where we're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to my mother and I said, Mama, where are we going to sleep? You know, all the kids are going home.
Mm-hmm.
It's dark.
Right.
Getting dark. The sun's going down. And she goes, those kids have to go home and stay at their house. We get to stay in the park all night long.
Oh, my God.
And in the morning, you will be the first one on the swing set.
What an outlook. Come on, girl.
From that moment on, that set the tone for the rest of my life, because that's the way I see everything.
You're just optimistic. It's not an obstacle. It's you're just optimistic.
It's just great. You know, we get to stay all night in the park. That's only one of the stories.
Come on, give it up for that story. Isn't it amazing? What an optimistic outlook. They have no home. They're homeless. And they said, the other kids got to go home. We get to stay in the park all night. In the morning, you will be the first one on the playground. It changed something in the neuroplasticity of her mind. Your mind is formable. And so now the tracks in her mind say, I don't see. This is what people think. I can't believe that happened to me. It didn't happen to you. It happened for you. Because what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And God works all things together for your good. Now she's iconically wealthy in St. Louis. When I get invited to country clubs, there she is. I was recently invited to a restaurant that you can't get in. It's like a year reservation. And I walk in. There's like 20 people there. And guess who's laughing? It's having a martini over at the bar. The homeless girl from the park. Because you can't hold a person down who says, I've got a superpower and it didn't happen to me, it happened for me, and the obstacle is only gonna make me stronger, more humble, come on, more endeared to God. It took me to my knees, but while I was down here, I started praying, God, do something in my heart, do something in my mind, do something in my soul. God, use my life to change somebody's life. And then the next thing you know, you'll be right where you're supposed to be in that better life that you wanted. God always is with us. We hear that a lot. How many of y'all know God is with us? But what's really cool is he actually goes before you. Isaiah 45 verse 2, put on the screen, Sunset, Weldon, Ferguson, Earth City, or as they call it, Earth City. I will go before you. And I will make the crooked places straight. And I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will go before you. In other words, it's one thing to have God walk in with you, but it's another thing for him to clear the path, for him to get out there ahead of you. And it says here, he says, I will go before you. And notice he didn't say, I'm going to send security. No. God forbid. I'm going to send the Secret Service. Okay. I'm going to send this one or that one. No. He said, I'm going to do it myself. Amen. I'm going to handle this. Why? Because you're the one the Lord loves. But for so long, you're thinking, all these bad things are happening to me because I'm bad. You're not bad. Just because you did bad doesn't mean you are bad. You're not what you did. Don't let that define you. You're not what you did. You're what you do. And if I look over the sum total of your life, and there's thousands of people right now at the campuses in St. Louis, okay? And you're there and you're going, well, how would you be able to possibly tell me, I'm even new here, you don't even know me. How can you tell me that you know something about me? Okay, here it is, a Sunday morning. Nobody else went to church, and you went to church because you said, I'm gonna figure out what it is that I can do with me to make a better me out of me so that I can make a more greater impact in the world. And that tells me one thing about you, that you love God and you love people, and what he started in you today, it's not by accident. You've had too many obstacles to tell me that it wasn't even the devil giving you supernatural help to throw you off the trail. I'm talking to somebody right now that you think, how is it that they didn't have that happen to him and she didn't have that happen to him? It seemed like there's so many bad things that have happened to me. I don't understand everything, but I do understand that somehow, some way, the devil can see from your childhood, who you're gonna be, the difference you're gonna make. And he does everything he can to keep you from that thing that's gonna cause you to inspire other people. I was watching the Olympics, not much of it, but I did, a couple things caught my eyes, and one, my daughter was telling me and showing me this video, and I was just flabbergasted by this girl who has 37 medals, 23 of which are gold. Ashley Nicole begins to tell me about this girl and how that her mother was addicted to drugs. And they had to take her from the mom and put her and her siblings in foster care. And how that she was a foster child. And how that they said she'd never make it. Yeah. And then the next thing I know, Nicole Ashton says, I watched this series on Netflix, so I downloaded it on Southwest Airlines on the way to Florida this week. I watched both the videos. I encourage you to watch it. This girl has more obstacles than anybody I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. Then, of course, as always, I don't know, people may start calling me Pastor TikTok because I just seem to get TikToks every week. And I want to show you this little clip right here of Simon Mills.
Everything has led to this moment. In the end, it came down to the final rotation, the final performance. Simone Biles took the floor. It was hers to win.
And she put pressure on Simone.
But Brazilian Rebecca Andrade set the bar high. Wiles would need to be nearly perfect, and she was.
That's what greatness looks like.
Whatever inner demons there may have been in Tokyo, tonight, Simone Biles beat them. The competition for bronze was equally tight, but Suni Lee pulled it out.
This one feels even better than the last. I'm a lot more matured, so I know exactly what my body is capable of, mentally and physically. So to just go out there and achieve that goal, it meant the world to me. It felt absolutely incredible. I mean, to just be back out here is such an amazing accomplishment. So to have this medal around my neck means so much to me.
Come on, give it up for her. Is that amazing? Come on, you can do better than that. I think you can do better than that. If you watch her story, you see her hearing things like, there are no people that look like me doing this as a child. It's all a bunch of little white girls. Then there was a couple people that went before, inspired her. And then now, there are scenes to where all the top girls look like her. And by the way, I don't know what happened where they all became models. But when you haven't seen it and nobody else has done it, now that she's done it, it's a lot of little girls thinking, yeah, I'm adopted. Yes, I'm living in foster care. Yes, my mom had drug issues. Come on, somebody. But if they can do it, I can do it. I can overcome the obstacle. And I don't know what you have went through. I don't know what it is you went through. I don't know what you're going through. But I know what you're going to. I know that this life that God has for you, God said, I'm about to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever ask, think, or imagine. How? According to the power that works within you. There's a greater one on the inside of you. And that's why the devil's always trying to squash it down and tell him, you're the wrong height, you're the wrong color, you're born in the wrong generation, you're the wrong. No. The devil's never got up to somebody and said, you know what? I think you're the guy. So you need to take control of your mind, your will, and your emotions and realize nothing is too hard for your God. Jeremiah 32, they'll put on the screens at all the campuses. It says, alas, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth. By the way, that's a big deal. Let's just pause there and think today the sun came up. And then this evening, how many of y'all got money on? It's going to go down. How many of y'all got money even? It's going to go down in the west. Raise your hand. Prophetically, the Lord has revealed that to you. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be 270. Going to go down in the west. And then it's going to wake up the other people in the other part of the world and give them light. Yes. And then it's going to go down for you and I because God knew we're workaholics and we just work ourselves to death if he didn't just turn the lights out. So now your body starts making melatonin. Not Lunesta, not Tylenol PM, not Advil PM. It starts making melatonin. And so all of this didn't just happen. This is a divine design on purpose with a purpose so that you could do the thing that you're called to do. If it's an Olympic gymnast or it's starting a foundation or it's being the person at Costco that is able to get all those stuff boxed up and moved out. You do what you do. And the enemy and the enemy is always trying to tell you that it's just not going to work. But it says, behold, he made the heavens and the earth by your great power, by your outstretched arms, and I want you to shout this at all campuses. Read it with me. What's it say? So good. Let's read it again strong.
There is nothing too hard or too wonderful for you.
Nothing. No thing too hard. Talked to a guy this week, 44 years old, terminal cancer. They said, the doctor said, you got to die. But just because the doctor said you got to die, the great physician said, you can live. Is there anything too hard for God? I talked to a single mom at Sunset Hills, Tuesday night, who said, hey, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she's showing through all her problems. And I tell her and all the single moms, is there anything too hard for God to do? You can meet your Boaz this week by serving at church. You can be in the coffee ministry giving somebody a coffee, and come to find out, there's Boaz.
Yeah.
If you don't read your Bible, you don't know who it is. It's your, I don't even know, what'd I say? Huh? I know it means kings and, I got a religious preacher here who says it means kingsman redeemer. I'm talking about right now in urban dictionaries. I'm talking, sugar daddy, come on somebody, man with the money. I don't even know if this is right. I'm just saying you can meet the guy who's at church serving God and all your money problems would be over. Now, he's going to bring other problems. He's going to spit in the sink. He's going to leave his underwear in the wrong place. He's going to watch bowling and golfing and all that stupid stuff. You got different problems. But I'm here to tell you, is there anything too hard for God? God can do it right now. He can run into that hospital room right now, touch that police officer's head, and all of a sudden, he starts coming back. I feel it in my soul right now. I thank you that the Holy Ghost is moving in that hospital, down through those nurses, with those doctors, and all of a sudden they're saying, give him a little bit of this, give him a little bit of that. Is there anything too hard for God? I'm here to tell you, he's been with me in the middle of the night. He saved me out of a dunghill. I'm telling you, he's not a respecter of persons. What he's done for me, he'll do for you. Somebody ought to praise him. Forget about the people that are around you right now. Give God some praise. God, we thank you that you delivered us. We thank you that we're feeling good today. We thank you, Lord, that we're not on oxygen today. We thank you that we're cancer-free today. We thank you that we woke up in a bed. We thank you that we got indoor plumbing. We thank you that we live in the United States of America. We thank you, God. Thank you, God. Somebody ought to give him praise. Is there anything too hard for God? I got 3 minutes and 44 seconds to wrap this thing up. But I got a word for you. It's going to take me longer than that. Okay. Jeremiah, here's another one. Devil hates this one. Jeremiah 32:27, survey says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And the answer again, shout it. Come on, St. Louis, is what? No. Shout it again. What?
No.
This is the guy that made the sun stand still.
Amen.
This is the guy that made the axe head float.
Yes.
This is the guy that got in the fire with the three Hebrew children. And they said, we're going to kill him. Stoke it up 7 times hotter than it's ever been before. And the enemy is outside laughing, thinking they're dead. And they looked in again, and they're dancing. And they said, it looks like, didn't we throw in 3? They said, yeah. They said, who's the 4th man in the fire? Said, it looked like Jesus. And Jesus is like, took the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I just want to praise him. Come on. I just want to praise him. Sing it up. Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. Even these white people know it. Some of them. Okay, that's good. He was there. He was with Daniel. You talk about an obstacle. You're thrown in with a den of lions. Anybody ever seen something where TikTok or something or funny home videos where somebody falls in with some big animals at the zoo and they want out of there real quick and they're not hungry. They're fed. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den with a hungry den of lions. That's an obstacle. And the next morning, when they came to check on him to see, is there anything left of his body? He was down there going, good morning, guys. And the lion's like, the lions that other people were afraid of, Daniel's like, come here, what I like to do is I like to sleep like this, and I'm going to need you over here, and I'm going to use your tail to kind of keep it around my neck to keep me warm, and I'm going to need you, lions, scoot over just a little bit more because I kind of roll over. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's where I sleep. I sleep like this with a pillow here, here, and a couple here to protect me from being attacked by the woman, Nicole. She's a maniac. Somebody ought to help me right now. And so I lay like this. And so Daniel's sitting there with the lions, and he needs a noisemaker, and the lions are like, arr, 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 arr. And he wakes up rested and refreshed. And they were afraid. The people that threw him in were afraid for him. But he didn't have any fear of the obstacle. He was not dismayed. He used the obstacle as a pillow. Somebody ought to shout amen. I don't care what you're going through today. I care about what you're going to do today. And I'm telling you, you're going to make it, girl. Your life's going to get so good. I'm going to have to preach a sermon on pride because you get all haughty and pride. Be up at the vault buying your Gucci bag, your Louis belt, walking out with that attitude. So, you know, walking, Jesus walked on water. Peter sees Jesus, gets scared, and you got to give it to the boy. I mean, y'all know if you're out at the lake and some dude starts walking on water in the middle of the night past you, how many of y'all got some questions for your own? Like, what was in my root beer? I thought it was root beer. He said, what? He said he was afraid. He said he was afraid. And he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And the Lord said, it's me. And Peter steps out on this obstacle, the waves, and he begins to walk on water. And then said he got his eyes off of Jesus, what always gets us. Started looking at the waves and said, it's really wavy out here. You can't walk on the water when it's windy. Y'all, you can't walk on the water when it's calm. Okay, so the enemy tried to get his eyes off the promise and on to the problem. See what I'm saying? And whenever you get your eyes off of Jesus, you begin to sink. By the way, it says he began to sink. I saw the Olympic swimmers, divers. You don't begin to sink. When your butt gets in the water, you're going down, clown. There ain't no beginning to sink. But as he's walking by faith, and then he starts looking at the waves, and he begins to sink. You don't begin to sink. This is what's happening in your mind right now. You begin to sink and think, I said it open door in 24. Pastor David said it'd be an open door in 24. It's the eighth month. Yeah, oh yeah, it is. It's the eighth month. It's a new beginning. Just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it's not gonna happen. Somebody ought to shout amen right now. Is there anything too hard for God? No! I got a slide. I want you to get your phone, take a picture of it. Obstacles don't block the path. They are the path. There was an obstacle named Goliath, a little boy named David. Because of the problem, it became his promotion. When my dad, 54 years of age, same age as I am right now, he died of cancer. And I thought it was the worst day of my life, but every time there was an obstacle, with inside the obstacle was the opportunity. And Faith Church, think about it right now. Some of the campuses that you're sitting in off of Earth City, 177,000 people drive by today. There you're sitting at Sunset Hills, 2,400 seats of auditorium, $37 million campus, all that stuff. None of that happened. Weldon, Ferguson, Florida, RPC, none of that happened until there was an obstacle. My dad died. My hope is gone. I'm doubting God. My mom gets married multiple times, betrays me, tries to hurt me, haven't seen her in 20 years. I can say I really hate that, and I do, but I didn't stay down there and eat worms. I got back up and says, no man has lost houses, lands, mothers, brothers, or sisters, except God would not give them back a hundredfold return. It didn't happen to me. It happened for me. I wish it hadn't happened, but then again, I think if it hadn't happened, maybe this wouldn't have happened. You know something now you didn't know before. I want everybody to stand at every campus right now. Nobody leaving, nobody moving around, because God is still working in your heart. Somebody shout this with me. Say, I believe my best days are out ahead of me. I believe that God is doing something in the midst of this obstacle. I'm going to see it as an opportunity. After today, no more down days. No more crying. No more feeling sorry for myself. It's not over until it's over. And I prophesy right now that I'm building a better life. God is for me. He is with me. And everything the devil tried, God is turning around for my good. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.